I'd like to start this morning by reading some words of a song and inviting you, challenging you even, to make it your prayer for the next half hour or so. Here it is. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Thank you to whoever chose the title I was given for this morning's sermon, To Meet with God. Quite short, isn't it? Just four words. But surely, meeting with God isn't that simple, is it? It sounds like a rather major matter. It would be a major matter to meet the Queen, or a President, or a Prime Minister. Good to see you here this morning. But why did you come? Is it to meet friends? Which is fine. But did you come to meet God? Do you believe there is a God? If so, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you expect to meet God? What big questions. The book of Exodus might challenge some of us on this matter. This morning, one question will be, do we accept the view of God evident in the Bible, including Exodus? And there are other questions. Are you and I ready to meet God? Can we prepare for meeting God? Whatever is it like to meet God? Exodus goes some way to answer these questions. First, take meeting with God seriously. Give it some priority. Here in Exodus 19, I'm going to read again verses 10 to 12. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain. And so on. You've heard it read. God would meet them on the third day. And they were told, prepare for that. Dedicate yourself to it. Wash your clothes. And this morning we can't just waltz into God's presence with a casual attitude. We have to take it seriously and prepare. I'm going to read to you verses 14 and 15 in Exodus 19. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day, abstain from sexual relations. You want to meet with God? Then don't be distracted, even by things which otherwise would be fine. Be very sure to meet with God is a serious matter. Do you and I prepare for our times together on Sundays and midweek? Oh, you don't have to go up to a mountain to meet God now, like Moses did. For God can speak to us in many ways and many places, especially through the Bible. But you can go up to a mountain and set aside that time, away from other things that keep you busy, and seek God and maybe see his beautiful creation. So let's not sneer at Moses for going up a mountain to meet God. He showed that he was in earnest and didn't want to be distracted. You want to meet God? Secondly, be aware of God's power. I'm going to read from Exodus 14, verses 26 to 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. You want to meet with God? Don't be distracted. It's a serious matter. But be aware of God's power. Awesome. God acted, and there was death. Oh yes, because death is a result of disobeying God for so long. Are you sure you want to meet this God, the one who has that much power? Third, Be aware of God's holiness. Remember what happened when God addressed Moses. And I go back to Exodus 3 and read just verses 4 to 6. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Oh, encountering the living God is not like having a relaxing evening with friends. Meeting God is much more significant than that. God is not your equal. He is your maker and your sustainer. When it comes to power and purity, God is on a completely different scale from us. He is holy, but just not in the same league. When God spoke directly to Moses, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. We say to children, when a hot pan comes out of the oven, "Don't touch." Or we say, when the sun shines, "Don't look directly at it, unprotected." So let us not think we can rush into meeting with God unprotected. Don't think you can tame God. We've been singing about God as untamable. We can't tame God to make him the kind of God I would prefer or to make him tolerant of sin. Fourth, note what God says. Particularly note this morning what he said to his people. "Remember, you were slaves, and I bore you on eagle's wings." It's there in Exodus 19, verse 4. "While you were slaves and suffering, I kept you going. I supported you. I'm still with you. And I was when you escaped from Egypt. Remember, I rescued you from Egypt," God said. "And remember how I judged the Egyptians." You people of Israel, you want to meet with God? Well, remember, he's the God who saved you. If you obey God, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If you don't obey God fully, he won't abolish his covenant, but you will fail to live as God wants. At least part of us surely wants a fresh meeting with God this morning, a deeper encounter with him. What do we need? In a minute, we're going to have Exodus 20 read, but I want to sneak ahead and go to verses 18 to 20. This is Exodus 20, verses 18 to 20. "When the people saw the thunder and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" Meet God on your own and you're in peril. It's as if God said, "You trifle with religion, as if it's something you can manipulate for your own benefit. You ignore God most of the time and then expect him to do what you want when occasionally you're interested in him." The truth is, friends, on our own we can't meet God. We're not fit to. You can't hide anything from God. As if God would sometimes say to us, "You're a proud, stubborn, disobedient sinner, and you think you can just stroll into God's presence at your convenience. You can't. Try it and you will die." So what do you and I need then, if that's the situation? Oh, we need a representative. Did you notice the people needed a representative? Moses. Is there someone to represent us and make us acceptable in God's presence? Most of you know what I'm about to say. Paul knew the answer to that question as he told Timothy, "There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom." Do you want a deeper encounter with God? Don't think you can bypass Jesus and do it. Listen to Jesus. Look at Jesus. See the power of Jesus. See his compassion. See his sacrifice for us on the cross. See his resurrection from the dead. See God who came to earth in Jesus on a unique rescue mission. See the love of God for you. Come to God through this Jesus, our mediator, and you are safe. He's often spoken about in the New Testament as Savior or one who saves. So here we are. God saved the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and from drowning in the Red Sea. He made a covenant with them and told them their responsibilities. If they obeyed God, verse 5, they would enjoy life in that covenant relationship. Now today God would say to us, you Christians, you are in a new covenant. God has saved you through the only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How should we respond? Oh, if you know God has saved you through the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, will you, out of love and gratitude, commit yourself to following the Ten Commandments that come in Exodus 20, which Nathan is going to come and read to us? Thank you.
The second reading, as you've heard, follows on from the first, and that's Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 21. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was.
Thank you, Nathan, for reading that to us. Friends, who made these commands? It's clear in Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You want to meet with God? Then follow these commandments. They contain wisdom from God. Don't think you can reject any of these you wish and continue to go on meeting with God as if nothing has changed. Note how covenant people should live. Live according to these commandments, and you will find you increasingly meet God. Have you found the opposite? Break them, and you find yourself distant from God because sin separates. One more point before we look at the commandments. They were given clearly by God to the Hebrews, but they apply to the whole human race. They applied beforehand. Here are some words from Romans 2. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. When Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. So we shouldn't think these commandments are just for Jews and Christians. They're for the whole of humanity. But let's look at the commandments. You can only have one God. There are no other gods besides the one who rescued you from slavery, especially slavery to sin. God has no rivals, nor should we. Design the kind of God you like, and it's bound to be false. Do you want a fake God or the one almighty God? None of us can design a better God. There is no better God. There's only the one real God, the one who rescued Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, and the one who came to the earth in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Have no other gods. You shall have not make for yourself a graven image that you can bow down to or worship. Not your car, not your home, not your sport, not your job. Anything that matters to me more than living for God, my Saviour, is an idol. You say, don't use that word these days in idol. Listen out for the word icon and see if you find it used in society. Don't make any images. Don't misuse the name of the Lord either. Don't blaspheme. Don't use God's name lightly. Use it carefully and respectfully. Are you offended when you hear God's lovely name misused? Then remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Why? Oh, it's a creation principle. The way God has made the world is that all creatures need rest. So work 6 days out of seven, not all seven. But Deuteronomy 5 gives us another reason. When writing about the Sabbath, verse 15 in that chapter says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." It was a day to remember that God saved the Hebrews. Since the death and resurrection of Jesus, it's a day for Christian people to remember Jesus and his salvation. A day of rest and a day of Christian worship. Do we treat Sunday as different from any other days or just the same? Before we move on, let me point out, I think this command still applies, and it says, 6 days shalt thou labor, not seven, nor even seven rest, six labor. But there's next we come to. Honor your father and your mother, whatever age they are, whatever age you are. Six, you should not murder. Oh, you might easily think, I'm off the hook here, aren't I? I haven't murdered anyone. Don't expect I will. But here's Matthew 5. I'm going to read some verses of Jesus there. Verse 21. You've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. If you have an issue with someone, don't store up anger and hate in your heart and mind, but seek peace and reconciliation. That's much better than to wish them dead. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can murder someone in your mind. Next, in verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. But again, I'm going to read to you from Matthew 5, this time verses 27 and 28. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. These are words of Jesus. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So there are some things better not to watch than to let them stir up lust. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Not in court or in any other place or time. Speak the truth, not lies. You shall not covet. Don't strongly desire things that belong to someone else. I'm nervous about this command. I'll tell you why. Viv and I believed it was important to teach our two girls the Ten Commandments. When Karen was three, Viv took Alison to the dentist, and I went for a walk with Karen. When we got back to Viv, Karen straight away said, "Mummy, we saw this car and Daddy coveted it." All I'd said was, "Let's cross the road and look at this car." She was three but sussed me out. So don't give up teaching children the Ten Commandments. They might understand more than you think. Well, Jesus summed up the commandments well. I'm going to read to you Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Summary of the commandments here, isn't it? What do you expect if you meet with God and he meets one-to-one with you? Will he say, "There's still sin in your life, isn't there? And how much do you care about that? Have you become content with it?" But if we're honest and open with God, will he then say, "You're still my child. Confess your sin, trust Christ for forgiveness, and seek the power of the Holy Spirit to change you." Oh yes, come in confession and repentance, and God welcomes you. After all, you belong to him if you're a Christian. You're family. Oh, still be aware of who God is, and marvel that you and I can meet with this Almighty God. This calls, friend, for honesty, doesn't it, and humility. Exodus 19, verse 8 tells us that when Moses told the people what God had said, the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." Did they? Their promises were overconfident and didn't recognize their weaknesses. How are you and I doing? Friends, don't neglect these commandments or reject them or be cynical about them. Don't dismiss them as old. Don't complain that by limiting your freedom in ways stated in the Ten Commandments, God is spoiling your life. They're certainly not designed to damage you or harm you. Quite the opposite. I heard a sermon recently, not here, somewhere else, on Psalm 19. Here are the three headings. 1, admit God's way is best. 2, surrender your will to God's will. 3, study God's word to grow stronger. I commend that wise policy. It's a sound strategy. I want to read now some verses from Psalm 19 about the commandments. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Time to pray, then we'll sing and have some more prayer. Silence for a moment. Almighty God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, knowing that in him you accept us because of his sacrifice for us on the cross, bearing the punishment due to us. We will confess once more that we do not live up to this calling. You've been a wonderful saving God to us, and yet we're too easily distracted. Lord, we thank you for the ongoing work of your Holy Spirit, challenging us through your word. Help us, we pray, to observe these commandments out of joy and love for you, knowing that they're given for our benefit, for our wisdom. Help us to work them out in practice, we pray. And we ask that in this, you will help us to help one another. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.